Okay, so let me try and put this in a bit of personal context. Were any of you around in the church when we had a guy called Vic Gledhill come to sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a few of them. So it's got to be after about 96, 97 when that happened. I can remember that very well because it gave us some guidelines about caring for people and serving people with no strings attached. And you could say that's the foundation out of which the bus and all sorts of other stuff has come, that we actually didn't want to be involved in baiting hooks to try and catch people. We wanted to do everything we could, excuse me, mixing the metaphors, with an open hand so that we were giving things away. I can remember at that time that David was particularly engaged with what was being talked about, and I can remember his excitement around that time. We talked about the possibilities. How things have developed for us has been quite different from the way in which things were happening in that church in Warsaw, but there was something that sort of interacted with what was already in Dave, a desire to serve, a desire to reach out to people and to tie those things together. And I am so hugely grateful in ways which would take me too long to list. One day I hope to be able to do so, for the way in which David serves in the church, takes responsibility, and is a huge, huge, huge part of the foundation of Dayspring. This morning he's going to be picking up a topic which he, of course, is in his area of strength, and he's really connected with that Dayspring's Values on the Front Line series. I won't say any more about it than that, because he's going to develop the subject, particularly applied to Lent this year. But let's pray that we'll have willing hearts to take action, as well as willing ears to listen. So, Father, we're here because we want to follow your Son more closely in more areas of our lives. And we pray this morning that we won't only be people who listen to stuff, but we'll be people who go out there and do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning. Friday, a week ago, I popped into the communal kitchen at work for my first coffee of the day, just after I'd arrived. And there was someone in there with bacon and sausages all around them, grilling away. And I made some comment, and they said, "Yeah, payday treat." I thought, wow, I wish I worked for that company. And we chatted, and I got my coffee, and just as I was leaving with my coffee, the person said, "Oh, that's annoying." And I said, "Oh, what's wrong?" They said, "Oh, well, I was trying to move the grill to be near the window so all the smoke and steam could go out the window, and I can't reach the plug on the wall." And I said, "Well, would you like me to get you an extension?" And they said, "Oh, that'd be really, really helpful." And I have to admit, it was on the tip of my tongue, so that'll be worth a bacon sandwich, I'm sure. But I didn't. And I went off and got an extension lead and brought it back to them. They said, "Oh, that's so kind of you. You can have a bacon sandwich for that." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't have to do that." Anyway, I went off. 10 minutes later, the boss of the company came to my door at the office and said, "Would you like sausage or bacon or bacon and sausage? Would you like red sauce or brown sauce?" So I said, "All of it." No, I didn't actually. I had all of it but the brown sauce. And I had a great start to the day, so with a bacon sandwich. So that gives you a flavour of what we're going to talk about. I've got a little video to show you. And then, if I can make this work.
You are here. You are a small spark of hope. You are the smile on a grey Monday morning commuter train. rain and they forgot their umbrella. You are the umbrella. You are the spare seat. You are number 42 on the street who always says hello. You are the open invitation. The spare change when they come up short. You are the hands and the feet of those too weak to carry their own load. You are the road to someone's opportunity. You are the undivided attention and the encouraging word. You are the drop in the ocean rippling far and wide. You are the light in the midst of their darkest place. You are the grace and the I'm sorry. You are generosity embodied. You are part of a community. Your community. Our community. You are one small act of generosity with 40 days to make a difference. You are here. Are you ready?
So it's that time of year again. It's Lent on the 10th of February. How many people did 40 Acts last year? Because we did encourage some people to do it. Oh, fair smattering, sort of. So, quick 5 minutes. Have a chat. If you did it, say what you found good about it, whatever, to whoever's around you. And any good stories that came out of it. 5 minutes. Go. Did anyone hear any good stories from 40 Acts?
Yeah, Katrina just remembered it got on the news about, was it 5,000 on the train?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, someone gave some money to someone in the...
She had to find him or something, didn't
she say? Yeah, I see
he
tracked him down on some...
Yeah, was on the news and they were able to track him down because he'd commented how well behaved she was and gave some money for a coffee, that was right, wasn't it? So that was... Any other good stories? Anyone have any good stories from what they did?
I remember James sending text messages that were really encouraging.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Horrible day, and this text message came.
Yeah, popped up. Yeah, I had the advantage. I had a phone number in my phone. So but yeah, they were really encouraging, weren't they? Those things I forgot. Yeah. Okay, so this morning we're looking at 40 Acts. We're thinking about 40 Acts on our front lines. I don't know if you, last week's talk, Andy and Roy, I found that hugely interesting, talking about the evidence for Jesus. And there are a couple of bits that really jumped out at me for this talk. So, 1 in 5 people who aren't Christians would be happy to learn more about the faith after hearing other Christians talk to them about it. And that's fantastic, isn't it? If we talk to 5 of our friends, our work colleagues, whatever, one of those would be interested to hear more. As Dave pointed out, how do we find the one? Well, obviously, it's all about promptings of the Spirit, being open to hearing who we should go. But also, to me, it's, what about the 4? How do we reach them? And then Roy went on to talk about, he said, with his friends, they have discussions about Christianity, and he was talking about the reasons for the empty tomb and the different theories and why the only real reason is because Jesus rose again. And it's great to hear that he's having those discussions. I love having those discussions. But I'll be honest, I don't have them very often. Maybe that's because I don't push the conversation, but maybe that's because most people in this country are apathetic or antagonistic against Christian faith. You know, it's great for you, but I'm living my life. If it works for you, that's fine. I remember in my sixth form, there was a friend and... say, oh, Christianity, load of rubbish, you know, empty tomb, how could that happen? How could someone rise from the dead? We'd have the discussion and, oh, Christianity, load of rubbish, 7 days of creation, that's impossible. And we talk about it. Oh, the flood, how did the kangaroos get from Australia? And you talk about it. And I enjoyed the conversations and things, but I soon realised that he wasn't really interested in the answers. He was looking for a rise from me. He was just enjoying the debate. I could have convinced, you know, put the arguments, won the argument, and he'd still go his way. He wasn't really listening to the answers. And so I think that there has to be something different. There has to be another way in to people. I was on the streets one Christmas. We were handing out drinks to people. A gentleman came up to me, took the drink. He said, "Oh, it's a cold day. It's great to have a hot drink. Why are you doing this?" I said, "Oh, we're a local church. It's Christmas. God loves you. We just wanted to show you that." He said, "Oh, the church. Oh, no time for them. A load of hypocrites." But I admire those people. And he was pointing to the Salvation Army band who were playing carols. I think coincidentally, I don't think we'd coordinated things. And I've often thought about that. Whatever you say about the Salvation Army, in Chippenham, they're the people who run the food bank. They're the people who set up Doorway. They're the people who every week, come rain or shine, open their doors, invite the homeless people in, serve them a lovely breakfast, help them in any way they can. They're the people who serve Christmas dinner to those who haven't got family to go to and things. And people see that. They're on the coalface, if you like. They're obvious. They're serving people, they're helping people, they're living out their faith in a way that's very obvious to people. And for this guy, he could see that. He could admire that. He could respect it. But he still thought the church was full of hypocrites. And so while he could see it and he could admire it, he wasn't experiencing it. He wasn't being touched by it. And it wasn't changing him. And so I really believe that 40 acts of kindness, are the way to reach the 4 out of 5 people who don't want to hear more about Christianity. They're the way to touch people who think the church is full of hypocrites. Most people in this country are apathetic or agnostic about, antagonistic about the Christian faith. If we do a small act of kindness, just because, with no strings attached, we open them up to the love of God. Jana was talking about how much God loves us. And that's so true. But as much as he loves us, he loves every single person out there the same amount. And we need to hear that God loves us most Sundays. Because of things that happen in the week, oh no, God couldn't love me, I did this, I did that. How much more so do they need to hear that? And by doing a small act of kindness, by doing one of these 40 acts to people around us, just because, no strings attached, you're opening people up to that act of love. You're changing their perception of Christians and God and what it's all about. And you're beginning them on a journey that will end, hopefully, with them coming to know him. And that's really what I think it's about. Right, the other thing that Andy picked up was this thing he'd followed, found on Twitter from a guy called Chris Morton. And in the end, I had to stick all of what Andy put on his slide into Google so I could find it. It's actually a talk that Chris gave, and he put some words around it, and I think it's really helpful. What I believe was really happening here is that the place that I felt most comfortable, the usual place I go to every day, was actually a place that I'd been sent to by God. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he changed me into a person who could sit and listen. In that time and place, the best way to be a witness was to sit and listen. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus sent his apostles first to Jerusalem. He sends us first to that which is normal, usual. If you realise that God is sending into the usual places, suddenly the regular things you do every day are infused with meaning and purpose. You get up in the morning, put on the uniform, asking, "How can I help the people I see every day know that God has not abandoned them?" This changes everything. Suddenly there are no usual places. Only people to whom God has sent you to. And so we've been talking about The Usual Places over the last 18 months. Dave mentioned it earlier, the front lines. And while it's great to be sent abroad and everything, we're here, we're in Wiltshire, we have our jobs, we have everything. The people we interact with at work, our friends, our family, people at the school gates, our neighbours, they are our front lines. They are the usual places. They are the people that God has sent us to in this time and in this moment. And 40 acts or acts of kindness and things are a way that we can show people that God has not abandoned them, that God loves them. We do that. He talks here about, was it through the power of the Holy Spirit, he changed me into a person who could sit and listen. And again, that's all about promptings of the Spirit. When you're with someone, is it just to say hello, do something kind, say just because God loves you? Is it more, do you need to hug them? Do you need to maybe just sit and listen and hear their story and hear what they're saying? When Sue was 3 or 4 years old, she was going to a birthday party and her parents had worked really hard to make sure she was going to be polite. She was going to say please, she was going to say thank you, she was going to say at the end, thank you for having me, sorry about any mess I created. So they arrive at the door and the mum of the friend whose birthday party it was opened the door. And before Sue ran inside to find her friend and give the present over, she said, please, thank you for having me and sorry about any mess I created.
That was last week.
Oh, you were at that party too. And I think for me, sometimes when a conversation opens up and we find that someone's interested in Christianity, we feel that we've got to get everything in. We've got to tell them all. We've got to tell them Jesus died for them, that he rose again, that he's there to save their sins. And we've got to get the whole gospel message in. And sometimes they ask a question about Christianity and they get the answer and then they get this whole lot of other stuff that they weren't asking for. I don't know, maybe it's just me, or is it, do other people feel that? And I think that you've got to be really open to the promptings of the Spirit. There are times when you're just there to sit and listen and hear how things are. At times when you just do a kind act, a smile, pay a compliment, and tell them that. Of course, you can go too much the other way, and all you ever do is sit and listen. And you've got to be, and that's where it gets really hard. You've got to be open to the promptings to say, "Hang on a minute, I'm going to ask a question here, or I'm going to pop this into the conversation, and see what opens up." But what we really are looking to do is to encourage you to pick up on 40 acts, to look to do it on your front lines, and to consider, well, we've got 40 days when we're really going to push at it. How can you carry that on beyond Lent? Because this is something we need to be doing all the time. A good few years ago, some of you will remember, we used to shut down, during the summer, we used to shut down one Sunday a month, and we used to go down one of the streets in Chippenham and offer to cut lawns and do things that help people in their gardens and do decorating jobs and take things to the tip. And we did that for a number of years. And the first year, it was amazing how many people would say to us, well, hang on a minute, it's Sunday morning, shouldn't you be in your building doing your thing? And when you take the time to do an act of kindness to somebody, it opens them up, it changes the way they look at it. You turn the things around. More recently, Sue was chatting to a friend and they were talking about Day Spring and about what we did, and the prayer table came up. And the friend suddenly said, well, hang on a sec. Do you mean if I just walked in off the street one Sunday morning, I could go to the prayer table and you would pray for me about my problems? Which of course we would do, wouldn't we? And yet for her that was a wow moment that people cared. And when we were down this street, sometimes people say, I haven't got anything for you this Sunday. And you say, well, how's life going? They say, oh, well, there's this problem or that problem, or I'm not feeling too well. And some of the guys, when they were door knocking, would say, well, could we pray for you? And I think every time people said, oh, That would be great. Thank you. So it's those little, being open to the promptings of the Spirit, little acts of kindness, doing it. Right, let's see if we can put some Bible to this. So the story of the feeding of the 5,000 actually appears in all the Gospels. In some of the other accounts, it talks about how the disciples were tired and hungry, and Jesus was actually looking to get them away and give them a bit of rest. And they went off in the boat, the people followed them around the edge of the lake, and when he saw the crowds of people, he had compassion, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I've spoken before on how at times we have to serve in the strength of God, in his strength of his Spirit, even when we're tired and we feel we're beyond it. Have to go through that. And you notice after this story, Jesus goes up the hill and prays to his Father, spends time with his Father. And if you look at the story of Jesus, that's how he re-energized himself. That relationship is key to his ministry. So you've got story of the 5,000 people fed. It says in some of the accounts the disciples were actually encouraging Jesus to send the people away so they could go and buy food, and he said, no, you feed them. And you get that thing about 200 silver coins, or in some translations it talks about 8 months' wages being enough to feed the people. And then this little boy comes forward with his packed lunch. Barley loaves apparently were the cheapest grain that you could buy to make bread from, barley was. So it wasn't a rich lunch. I don't know, when I was a little boy, most packed lunches got ate by about 10 o'clock. And I think even if I still had it, I might have ate my fill and then shared a little bit out. But no, he gives the whole of his packed lunch to Jesus. And it isn't that Jesus said, oh, can I borrow your packed lunch and I'll feed everyone. In a generous gift, he just hands it over. And it says 5,000 men, so what's that? 10,000 people, 15,000? In the earlier video, it talked about the drop in the ocean causing the ripples. And that packed lunch is just like that. And yet the boy gave it generously with hope. And Jesus was able to take that and do immeasurably more than that boy could dream or imagine with it. He fed 5,000 people. And they all had enough. They all ate their fill. And then there was 12 baskets to gather afterwards. And it's amazing what acts of generosity, the effect they have and what they do to people. I've talked before about buying a cup of coffee for the person behind me in the queue at Costa Coffee. And they said to me, he said, that is the nicest thing that's happened to me since I don't know when. It's only a cup of coffee. I've talked about the story about the woman ringing the church and saying, what was in that bottle of water? It's healed me of my cancer. And it was just a bottle of water. If we are generous and give of our time and our money and what we have to people, Jesus can do immeasurably more than we can imagine or dream. Sue has got the kids in. There's a couple of older people, I think I'll term it, who live down Marden Way near us. We walk past. If we walk into town or the kids walk to school, we walk past on a regular basis. And Sue and the kids, as they go past, will wave at the windows of the houses just to be friendly. I have to say, it's not something I do. It feels a bit. But the kids do it. The other day I was just driving to work. Isabella had just left to go to school, and there she was waving at this house, this older lady, and there's an older gentleman as well. Lovely people. Their family do visit them, but they don't get out very often, so it's just a way of saying hi, we're thinking of you. It's all we do. And just before Christmas, Sue was walking back from town and she bumped into this older gentleman. He said, oh, I'm so glad I bumped into you. I said, oh, what, is everything okay? He said, yeah. He said, I am just so grateful for the way your kids will wave at me through the window, that I wanted to give them a little Christmas present. But I couldn't find your house, so I bumped into you, so here it is. But again, it's just waving at somebody. And yet it's had that effect. And who knows where that could go, what it could do. It's nearly 13 years ago now, Isabella was born. Many of you will remember she was 10 weeks premature, and we had all sorts of fun and games, and I could go on the rest of the afternoon about how good God was in that. But she was born, she had to be born because Sue was ill, so Sue was still in the hospital at Isabella in the special care baby unit. And one evening, I can't remember which evening it was, I'd obviously been at the hospital all day with Sue and Isabella. I drove home, pulled up outside the house, and on the way home I've been thinking, what do I need to get done this evening? And one of the jobs on my list was a whole load of washing up that had sort of piled up because I hadn't been bothered to do it. And as I got out of the car, it was already dark, or it was getting dark, and I could hear the phone ringing in the house. So I quickly unlocked the front door, ran to the phone, didn't bother switching on any lights or anything. And I think it was my parents or Sue's parents, and I was just giving them the news of how things were and how everything was going. And I became aware, as my eyes grew accustomed to the dark, that I was stood by a sort of island counter that stuck out between the dining room and the kitchen and the house we had then. And I became aware the whole of that countertop was covered in this pile of this washing up that had been piled neatly by the sink. And it was only when I switched the light on I realised that not only was it there, it was all clean. And unbeknownst to me, Tina and Sandra Parsons had gone into the house and had done all the washing up and had cleaned the house and everything like that. And of everything that I had on my job list that night, the only one job I can remember is the one I didn't have to do. But that is the testament of what it is, those acts of kindness, the effect they have, the way they stay with you, the way you think about them. And us doing those on our front line to people can have an effect, can show them the love of God. We open up conversation, even if you only can just say, I'd like to buy you this cup of coffee because God loves you. You can change it. So, really encourage you to look at 40 Acts. I've got some postcards here you can take away. 40 days of Lent, 40 reflections, 40 simple acts of generosity. I've got another slide here. Yes. What do we want? So if you're on the web, you can sign up. You'll get an email every day, give you a reflection. And then there are three acts you can choose from. The green, which apparently will take minutes at the most, cost next to nothing, and are really simple to do. Yellow, which are a bit more difficult, might take 15 minutes. And red, which you probably can't do that day because you'll have to think about it and plan it. And I think they ought to be like ski runs, really. Green ones ought to be the sort of green, easy slopes, and the yellow ones ought to be the blue, more intermediate. And then if you're a real keen 40 actor, you ought to be on the black slopes because you're so good. A couple I picked out from last year. So what we got? We've got surprise them on the left there. That's about, you know, just making someone feel special. So make them smile. It doesn't take much to make someone feel special. Treat for their letterbox or on their desk or an unexpected compliment. It's quite easy to do, isn't it? Do the unexpected. If you don't normally cook, surprise your friends or family with a meal. Don't forget acquaintances or strangers. Give out flowers on the bus. Pay for someone else's parking. Again, fairly simple. And then go crazy. Your imagination is the limit. You might write someone a note of encouragement every day for a week. Send them on a treasure hunt. Take them out for an unexpected treat, or even throw them a party just because. This is the day to go all out. No reasons required. So that gives you an idea of the sort of things you'll see. If you're not on the web and you want to do it, do speak to me. I can get a printout of them all and give them to you, and you can work through them on a piece of paper. It's great to involve the whole family. They have challenges for teenagers. I copied and pasted all the challenges into a Wordle to see what came out. There's some really good words there, I think. Ask and thank. And today's one I really like, actually. But the challenges are really good. As a parent, I really like the idea of turn off lights and TV chargers when you leave a room.
Miracle.
Yeah, well, there might be. Yeah, but also there are more important ones which I think are fantastic. Be a friend to a shy person. chat with someone outside your usual group of friends. Say something nice about someone behind their back. And those are the kind of things that I aspire to teach my kids to do. And I think that's fantastic. There are also family wall charts you can put up, print out and put up. There's a brilliant one on here, I really like this. Leave something nice to eat on a neighbour's doorstep. Ring the bell and run. Years and years ago, we planted trees or seeds for trees in pots, and when they grew up about yay high, we then went out and planted them across the county. It was all about waking up Wiltshire and call to a county and things. And I think at the time we called it green vandalism or environmental or something like that. We were planting trees everywhere. This is sort of loving knockdown ginger, isn't it? It's, not that I ever did that as a kid, honestly. And then I had the idea, there's 11 houses on our road, ours and 10 others. There's 6 of us in the house because Sarah's lodging with us. So 4 other people like to come and join us. We'll sneak out, leave something nice to eat on every doorstep. And as we give the signal, we all ring the doorbell at the same time, run back in the house. And then all the neighbours will come out and be going, wow. Anyway, that's the way I think. So there's... You're ready. You're up for that. Yeah, I am as well. So we just need a few.
We got hoys.
And hoys. All right. Right, quickly, before we get invaded. Fair Trade Fortnight is coming up. That is going to be in the middle of the 40 Acts. I am sure there will be something about it. The catchphrase for it is something, stand up for farmers, sit down for breakfast. Whole idea is to put on a fair trade breakfast at work or for your friends and neighbours or invite friends round or whatever. And as Donna pointed out when we were discussing this core team, you could take somebody to breakfast somewhere like Sainsbury's or Morrison's because they have got fair trade products in that. And it gives you an opportunity to do something nice for people, act of kindness, talk about fair trade and there. And I've had the idea I'm going to do this if anyone wants to join me. If you're free during one morning during Fair Trade Fortnight, and let me know, you can join me. I want to do a fair trade breakfast for all the guys who work in the offices where Dayspring have their office. And just because God loves them. And also we're doing fair trade. So I have fair trade coffee and fair trade tea and locally sourced sausages and bacon and things. And we're also doing we'll obviously do a fair trade brunch as well during there. So there's that. So I guess in conclusion, really encourage you. Think about doing 40 Acts, sign up, come to me if you want everything on paper. 40 days of Lent, 40 reflections, 40 simple acts of generosity. Let's be looking to do this on our front lines. It isn't that we've got to go and find new people to do this to. We can do it to our work colleagues, we can do it to friends, neighbours, family, people we meet in the street, people we interact with. Remember when I used to work at Avon, just saying hello to the cleaners was something unusual. People generally, they were there and they did their job. But actually saying hello, smiling, remembering the conversation you had a week ago with them and following up on that. Those sort of things count and it shows something different. And the encouragement is use this as a springboard so that we're not just doing it for Lent. Something we're doing all the year through. It might be that you're not able to do it every day as you do it through Lent. But even if we started doing acts of generosity once a week, or we had a mindset that we were open to do that and to notice things and begin to be listening to the promptings of the Spirit on how we could touch people and what we could do that would help them and ways that we could listen to them and that sort of thing, and not just rushing through. Like, I, you know, one of the things I had to learn with day three, you know, there aren't a lot of people I interact with who aren't Christians, who aren't come to church during my working day now. But when I go to the kitchen, it isn't now just about getting a cup of coffee and getting back to work. No matter how busy I am, if there's someone there, I will take the time to chat. I will try, I'm a bear with a small brain, I will try and remember what we talked about so the next time I talk to them I can follow up on that conversation. And it's all about building relationship and doing that. I think that's about all I got, and I've gone over time. Thank you very much.